poor Flevin Goose versus old Will Tenby. Mrs. Carter looked us up and down. Two short, dishevelled boys from town pulled her boots on in the room and handed each of us a broom. "Follow me," she barked. "Wait there." There was a trace of wood ash in her hair. A converted Pullman beside the yard. Scrap metal mountain. A goose for guard. She entered first, gripping her broom. "Keep your eyes peeled, boys. Don't presume that this bird has any kind of respect or fear or curiosity to politely inspect. Nope. He'll go for your groin or your throat. He's as tough as a boot and quick as a goat." As we watched Mrs. Carter's unladylike fight to enable our scrapyard Klondike to find an engine for our prog rock van to get the band to England to make it, man, I recalled from the pool of unreal dreams a morning in the village riven with screams. The Portlaoise merchant with freshly caught mackerel, ling, hake and crab had brought to sit on his scales like the devil incarnate with muscular neck and a head full of hate and wings which stretched when fully spread from Elston Town Clock to Mullion Head like the spirit of King Arthur's chief mechanic whose vicious machines designed to cause panic, a conjurer's engines made of shadows and spells and mistletoe riddles and oceans and shells to move among Saxons, wraiths of the night, and choke the invader with a grail of spite. Mother had hesitated, her purse gaping wide. Portlaoise's finest had struggled to preside, but pulpit and hellfire crushed Anglican pride. Coins jingled reluctance across the divide, till mother possessed a bird, wild-eyed, 4 foot tall and 5 foot wide, and madder than a hatter in a trouser press, with time to kill and an emperor to dress. This deposed monarch of a farmer's yard took the shift to doctor's shed mortally hard. He sat on a black mountain of anthracite, stored to warm old widows on Christmas night. And doctor, a healer, a general practitioner, who'd no stomach for Lord High Executioner, stood at the door of his occupied shed and scratched till it bled his medical head. "This is no way, my dear, to keep our house," though he'd said the same when trapping a mouse. "We'll freeze to death with an empty scuttle, a goose for our good and fear for our chattel. I've patients to visit and sickness to cure. A goose in my shed, oh, what trouble I endure." By this time, the whole village was alive and standing in wonder on Doctor's drive. "Heave a goose in the house," old Granny Price whispered to Annie. "Ain't that nice?" Mrs. Bowden and Mildred suspended discussion down shop of matters tickly and hotly flushing to whistle between their national elf teeth, "Best do something or else there'll be grief." While doctor was wondering if a sleeping pill on a stick might assist, somebody said, "Will. What you need, doc, is old Will. His son's wed to my second daughter, and I believe 'tis said that in the war his protected occupation was slaughtering pigs to supply the ration. Though for each pig killed for the ministry, another one squealed for the vestry to grace the reverend Sabbath table, and a joint on his step for PC constable. This village never lacked for rashers nor chops. Some pigs never made it to butcher shops. But doc, old Will, he've got the slaughtering skill. Offering a leg, he'll go in for the kill." Before you could utter boo to that old goose, Will was ready. String-tied trousers, nothing loose, a spark in his eye, the bit between his teeth. Old Will went in. You could hear a spider breathe. "What's this?" Goosey says to himself. "An ape? A human, an adversary to knock into shape. Bread and butter for a mad old bird locked in a coal shed. though I should have preferred to go out by falling from a flying wedge, filling the sky to see the sun drop over the edge. But such a glorious setting is not for me, sold by a fishman, plucked and roasted for tea. So I'll give this old fool a run for his money, before turning brown and basted with honey. All the village stood outside that lowly shed. Feathers flew and curses too awoke the dead. The vicar implored the onlooking lord to forgive old Will his profanities, his hoard of obscenities and guttural exclamations. Oh, do shut up, vicar. I need no explanations. If you spent less time preaching gospel and word, you'd see that I've got a fiver on that bird. And when the odds tempt the gods to put on a bet, even I might utter a blasphemous epithet. Go to your church and preach and pray, and I'll look in to see you another day. So the vicar retired to hoover the nave and bound the plot of his pastoral grave. The noise was beyond the terror of battle, made worse by Doctor hammering his scuttle with the back of the blunt old carving knife he'd used to slice his anthracite guardian's life, once Will the Slaughterman had prevailed, and this crazy flying zealot was at last impaled, and he could purr like a carolling choir before the flames of his sitting-room fire. But hours flew by. The curses grew dark. The village settled in. A flint found a spark, and a fire was lit, and carols were sung, and old Will breathed feathers into his lung. Hot chocolate and cold sausage rolls, blankets of forgiveness for these village souls, gathered there in the doctor's yard to see if Goose or Will, bloody and scarred, would emerge the victor of this third world war, and leave the other spread over the floor. Suffice to say that evolution has equipped the ape with a brain to master the script, and it was, of course, old Will who emerged to declare, "At last, this goose is mortally purged. Covered in feathers, clotted with blood. I'll need some patching, Doc. Is that old God? Well, my handsome, I've sat in pews to hear your word. Nowhere in Genesis did you mention that bird. I gotta say, though almighty you may be, and the devil downstairs you fought incessantly, you ain't no match for a Port Lebum goose, sold in Stithians, soused in orange juice, and served up with teddies and gravy stirred. Good Lord, you ain't no match for that there bird." And the Lord turned from his heavenly throne to look down upon Will, standing alone. "Have you no pity for a deity in debt? Damn you, William, your Lord is in debt. I had my eternal shirt on you to lose. Don't think of me, son. I backed the goose." And Mother, she never again tempted heaven for a bargain from a fishman from over Port Lebum.